take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter number 11, please. Isaiah chapter 11. Once you find Isaiah chapter 11, I want you to find verse number 11. Isaiah 11, 11. And so, young people, it's not laughing time, not talking time. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 11. Stand with me, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the island of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversary of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." So you understand, verse number 11 is the verse from which I will take the sermon for today. And specifically in that verse it says, "The Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people." I'll explain that in a moment. Father, bless us now. Help me quickly to get the point across, but solidly, so that we can leave here today knowing that heaven has spoken to our hearts through thy word. Holy Spirit of God, do a work. Somebody here desperately needs what I'm going to say. May none of us hinder that, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you the name of my sermon right off the bat. It is two letters. It's the word, or if you will, the sermon title is RE, R-E. It is a prefix. We use the word redeem or restore. Re means again. Now, notice the Bible says that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Let me explain. Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit here, writes that God will a second time to try to recover his people. Now, this passage is actually one of prophecy. It is in reference to God's relationship with the Jews. And notice, he a second time wants to recover them. The sermon is called Re. That prefix Re, again, we recapture, we redeem, we repossess, we retake, we recover, we restore, we reclaim, we recycle. You can be glad, and I am. God's a recycler. I'm recycled. I'm redeemed. You know, now I have to tell you something. God is willing to give you and I and the human race a second chance. Again, we get a chance again to do what we could or do what we should. But I do need to explain something to you so you all know. It's my privilege to represent God as a pastor of a New Testament church. I come to you today on behalf of God, and God would want you to know that God is He's a God of a second chance. God, He gives us a second opportunity in life. But I got to tell you something. God doesn't owe anybody a second chance. He doesn't owe it to anybody. But thank God, we have the privilege of knowing that God is a God of a second chance. Now, we don't always get a second chance. I think there are some times that God maybe said it once and that's it. But multiple times in the Bible, you'll find out, they had a chance to recover and restore. And they had a chance to get something right that they needed to get right. Job got a chance to recover. The prodigal son got a chance to recover. Samson got a chance to recover. Peter, who warmed himself by the devil's fire, got a chance to recover when he preached the day of Pentecost. Elijah, who was depressed for a while, but somehow he came out of it, but he got a chance to recover. Naomi got a chance to recover. Thomas, the doubter, got a chance to recover. David got a chance to recover. I'm glad that God gives us a chance to recover. I get a chance. I get again the opportunity to do what I ought to. Now, why would anybody need a second chance? Well, maybe because you didn't know the Lord when you messed up the first time. You know, there are a lot of things we do before we're saved that later on after salvation we go, what was I thinking? Well, that's the way lost people live. Maybe you need a second chance because you didn't do your best the first time. I know I've been guilty of that. Maybe you need a second chance because you just didn't care the first time. Maybe you need a second chance because you didn't listen to God's warning and instructions the first time. Maybe you need a second chance because you just were rebellious and unwilling the first time. Maybe the first time you had no faith, but now you've been saved and your faith has increased and you say, you know what? If God would give me another chance, I now know what to do and how to do it and what I ought to do. And let me tell everybody in here, boy, if you blew it the first time, learn something, and when God comes around the block the next time and says, I'm going to give you another shot at this thing, you say, I'm re-enlisting. I'm willing. I'm willing to try again. I'm willing to do what I ought to again. Now stay with me. This sermon is very, very simple. God, number one, God often gives a repeat chance for salvation. For salvation. In other words, if you didn't get saved the first time, it's a wonderful thing that God will come back around many times and give you another chance to get saved. You take the story of the man by the name of Saul, who later becomes Paul. Saul, in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, it says, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Here's the story. This is a young man, a lost young man by the name of Saul. He is witnessing the powerful death of a deacon named Stephen. No doubt Saul had seen and heard from this guy named Stephen. Now, Stephen is being stoned to death, and I believe that Saul knew what it took to be saved as he witnessed the death of this Christian man named Stephen. But Saul did not get saved at that moment. So, in essence, Saul had basically said no to salvation. But I've got good news for you. Two chapters later, it says in Acts 9:6, about Saul, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And everybody would tell you that it is at that moment this man who rejected Christ at the stoning of Stephen now is accepting Christ in Acts chapter 9, verse number 6. That's when Saul, the lost man, became Paul, the saved man. What had happened? A gracious God looked down and said, that guy named Saul right there is not getting saved at the stoning of Stephen. In a couple chapters, I'll give it another whirl and we'll see if we can get that guy to get saved. And God came back to Saul and said, Saul, give you another chance. And Saul said, I'll take it. And he became Paul and he got born again. What is that? That's the reason he again stated the opportunity for salvation. Now, God owes nobody that second chance. Now, if you say, this is the first time I've ever heard about this thing called salvation, let me warn you, it may be your only chance to hear about it. I mean, you could die later today. I hope that doesn't happen. And to be honest, I don't think that will happen. But I am going to tell you, God is a God of a second chance. Do you know that really and honestly, I don't think everybody's saved the first time they hear the gospel. Some are. How many of you got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? Will you raise your hand? Well, I guess God's a God of a second chance then, isn't he? I guess, I'm just here to tell you. There are some of you, God brought the gospel to you over and over and over again, and you were so thick-headed. And you were so set in your ways, and for, I don't know what was wrong, but I'll tell you what, thank God that God did not give up. Maybe you're a lost church member. Maybe you, even this day, you've sat in this church and heard the gospel over and over and over again, and you've never been born again. Well, God's a God of a second chance. Now, I can't promise you that this isn't your last chance, but I am here to say God often gives a repeat chance for someone to get saved. Hey, maybe today is your repeat chance. Maybe today's to be the day of your salvation, because you've been rejecting all along. I'd get it taken care of. I wouldn't push it beyond that second or third chance. Yeah, boy, look, salvation's easy. Look, I think if salvation were going to cost you something and you wanted to be a little hesitant, I might understand that. It's free. Look, God already paid for it. He's trying to give you a gift. Seemed to me like it'd be real offensive if somebody tried to give another a free gift, no strings attached. And you said, don't want it. Seems like a real personal rejection to me. That's pretty personal. But God gives us a repeat chance for salvation. But not only that, I think God gives us a repeat chance to be used by Him. To be used by Him. Let me tell you a very familiar story. It's about a man named Jonah. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here's what happens in this story. God tells this man named Jonah to go to Nineveh and help the people of that city. But Jonah rejects his chance to help the people of Nineveh. He gets on a ship and he heads toward a place called Tarshish. A storm hits and he's tossed overboard and ends up getting swallowed by a whale. Most of you have heard it. That whale ends up vomiting Jonah up. And the Bible then says in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1, the word of the Lord came a second time unto Jonah. And then it says in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 3, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh is an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now, here's what happened. God said, Jonah, go help those people. Go help those people. He said, I don't want to go help those people. He goes through the process of becoming fish bait for just a little while. He ends up in the whale's belly. And then God comes again and said, Jonah, go help those people. And Jonah said, I believe I will. I believe I will. And let me tell you something. Maybe the greatest revival recorded in scriptural history took place when God gave Jonah a second chance to go help some people. A great revival came. And God gave Jonah that chance. And God gave Jonah another chance to be productive for the cause of Christ. And God gave Jonah a second chance to go help other people. And God gave Jonah a second chance to go change some lives. I wonder how many people today, here under the sound of my voice, God has tried to get you to serve Him. And God has tried to get you to help people. And you've just been so caught up in your own life. You're just too busy to serve God down at the church and help people down at the church. You know, you've got your job and you've got your house and you've got all your stuff and you've got your plan for your life. And God has come to you on more than one occasion and said, you need to serve people and you need to make a difference in the lives of people. And I want to use you. I want to use you to help people. But you said, I'm just too busy. Could I say to everybody in here, anybody that's too busy to serve God is just too busy. But you don't understand how much stuff I have, Brother Owens. Then maybe God should take some of it. Then you wouldn't use it as an excuse. But let me tell you, I'm really glad to tell you today, God gives a repeat chance for people to be used of God and make a difference in the lives of people. Oh, see, be careful now. You had an opportunity to work on a bus route, but you weren't interested. And you had an opportunity to help in a Sunday school class, but you weren't interested. And you had an opportunity to usher, but you weren't interested. And you had an opportunity in the nursery or to work with the maintenance crew or go soul winning or to be a part of the music program, but you were not interested. Folks, I think sometimes we get so busy making money, we don't have time for God. And we get so busy with our house, we don't have time for His house. But God gives us a second chance to be depended upon for something spiritual. A second chance to feed the poor. A second chance to have a spiritual responsibility in life. A second chance to be a participator instead of just a spectator. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's a participator sport. Way too many Christians are sitting on the sideline watching. We're all supposed to be in the game. We're to be a part. Where are the actions at?
And I say this, that those of you, some of you walk into a church like this and it's a beehive of activity. When you walk in here, you don't wonder if there's something alive around here. There are some churches you walk in and you're just wondering if anything is alive. You think you just walked into a funeral home. Well, I can tell you the difference is we are not coming in here to plunker down in a pew and sit there for an hour and get the responsibility of coming to church off of our back. We're here to serve God. We're here to make something happen. We're here to change lives. We're here to make a difference. We're here to reach our city. We're here to do something for God. We're not just here to watch. The average church, they're just watching Christianity. We're not just watching. I'm a part of it. This is where it's happening. God's changing lives. God's making a difference. Too many of you are spectators. Spectators. Oh, but God gives you a second chance. Woo! I'm glad of that. I'm glad that God will give me another chance to be a need filler at church. And a second chance to become a servant. A second chance to make a difference in somebody's life. A second chance that I not be stingy with me, mine, and my stuff. But I get to be a Christian. A Christian. I love the passage of Scripture. The Bible says the second time God came to try to recover that remnant, what was He doing? He's repeating. He's coming back and repeating Himself. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. If you're here today and you've heard the gospel and you've not been saved yet, you better thank God that God's given you another chance. If you're here today and you had opportunity to help people and serve, but you've really not done anything about it, thank God. God is going to give you another chance to make a difference in somebody's life. Thirdly, may I say, God often gives us a repeat chance to see the importance of His Word. To see the importance in His Word. God loves us, and He is very willing to repeat Himself. I'm not a good dad, didn't claim to be when my kids were growing up, but I did learn something that I had to work at, and it was this. I needed to repeat myself. As a leader, I spend my life saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. You, the church, you say, preacher, why do you repeat yourself so much? This might be hard for you to understand, but I repeat myself so much because I love you. I could say, well, I said it. It's over with. The responsibility is off of my plate. But there's only one problem. If I said it and you didn't get it, I love you enough. I'm coming back and I'm telling you again. So, well, just let them become responsible for what you said the first time. You know what, something? I don't even want people punished because they didn't listen the second time. Now, that didn't go for raising kids. But in this thing of the church, I'm going to repeat myself. Why? I could get up in my pulpit and say, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And everybody that didn't, I could ignore it and say, okay, you die and go to hell. It's your fault. I told you once, but you know what? I'm going to come back and tell you again and tell you again and tell you again. We're going to go around the block and ring the ever-loving bell over and over and over again. Why? If I got to repeat myself 1,000 times to get you born again, if you pray and ask Jesus into your heart, number 1,001, glory to God, we accomplished something. But God repeats Himself. He repeatedly gives me a chance to be saved. He repeatedly gives me and you a chance to serve Him and to make a difference. And then He'll repeat Himself in regard to the very Word of God. It's proven. You ever look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Amen. Yes, sir.
They're about the same.
Yes, sir.
Were you thinking, was God having a bad day when He put those in there? Was His Alzheimer's acting up? He repeated Himself, almost identical. I can tell you why. God wants you to get it. God should only have to tell us anything one time from the Bible. But He tells us over and over and over again. Some of you parents will say, well, you just don't understand my frustration with my knucklehead kid. You ought to see how God feels about you. You know that God tells us the importance of loving our enemies? He tells us in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. He repeats it identically in Mark 12:31, Luke 6:27, and John 15:12. And lots of other places. He keeps repeating, love your enemy. He gives you another chance. He tells us to obey His word. It says in Matthew 4:4, "But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know, He turns around and repeats that in Mark 2:2. He repeats that in Luke 4:4. He repeats that a fourth time in John 8:31. All four Gospels, He said the same thing. And some of you read it and you say, He said the same thing in the book before, and He said the same thing in the book before, and He said the same thing in the book before. So what's God doing? God's trying to get you to do it. He tells us to forsake our sin. Matthew 3:2. And saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I'm going to tell you something. You don't hear a lot of people talk about repenting anymore. Can I tell you something? You need to repent of your sin. You need to give up your sin, walk away from your sin, turn your back on your sin. God says we're to do that. But that very verse that is found in Matthew 3:2 is found in Mark 1:15, Luke 13:3, and John 16:8. And God is repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. What's God trying to do? God has given you another chance to do the right thing. God's a pretty patient God. He tells us to reach the lost. Matthew 24:14. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world." He turns around, not only in Matthew, He says that in Mark 13:10, Luke 9:6, and John 17:18. He tries to give us as many retries to submit to the Word of God as possible. Let me tell you something. You know that every one of you, you are to submit yourself. If you're a born-again Christian today, you're to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. So when you're being preached to, your ears are in tune to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, most people want the preacher to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want my pastor to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I want my pastor to stand and preach in the Spirit's power. But do you know something? The Bible says more about your ears being in tune to the Holy Spirit than my mouth. You know, He tells us to listen to the preaching as we are submitted to the Spirit of God. Listen to this. Revelation 2:7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Do you know He repeats that a second time in Revelation 2:11, and a third time in Revelation 2:17, and a fourth time in Revelation 2:29, and a fifth time in Revelation 3:6, and a sixth time in Revelation 3:13, and a seventh time in Revelation 3:22. He kept saying, "Listen right, listen right, listen right, listen right, listen right, listen right." You know, sometimes it's not what the preacher said, it's how you heard it. Most of the time, if the preacher told you the truth, he told you what you ought to do, and you didn't listen to a thing. You didn't listen to what was being said. You didn't listen in the Spirit. You came into church so full of yourself, and you've got all your little ego issues, and you've got all your problems, and you walk in, and the preacher preaches the truth, and it doesn't affect you. It runs off of you like water off a duck's back. What was the problem? It wasn't that the preacher wasn't preaching right. You weren't listening right. That's why God kept saying, "Listen, listen, listen, listen. Hey, isn't it true what I'm telling us anyway?" I mean, the whole sermon. If we just listen right, God wouldn't have to repeat Himself all the time. Anybody, how many of you are parents? Will you raise your hand? Put your hand down. Anyone that just raised your hand ever look at your kid and say, "Are you listening to a thing that I said?" Now, my dear friend, could I submit to you the possibility that God every once in a while up in heaven is saying, "Are you listening to a thing that I'm telling you?" Sure. That repeat chance, what is it? God comes to you and me in the Scripture over and over and over again and repeats Himself. Then God gives the pastor a sermon from that same book. And we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it. And God repeats Himself. We hear truths preached more than once. And God gives us a second chance to obey that Scripture and obey that preaching. And how many times do you have to hear it before you're going to take it to heart and obey it? But God gives us a repeat chance. We get to repeat that chance for salvation if we've never been saved. We get a repeat chance of helping people and serving God through the church if we'll take it. We get a repeat chance of obeying and understanding and grasping the Word of God because God's willing to repeat Himself. Let me give you one last point. I'll hurry and we'll be done. I think God gives us a repeat chance for fixing disunity among us. Disunity. Bad relationships, if you will. Let me tell you a little bit of a story or two. Jacob steals Esau's birthright. I'll read a passage of Scripture. Listen right up this way. The Bible says in Genesis 25:34, "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Jacob and Esau are brothers. Jacob was a mama's boy who stayed home cooking. Esau was a hunter. Esau came home from hunting one day. He was starved. His trickster brother, Jacob, offered Esau some food in exchange for his birthright. And Jacob takes advantage of Esau. Now, he could have treated his brother right, but he didn't. Esau starts hating Jacob because of this stolen blessing. Isaac is the father of both of these boys. Isaac is dying later on in life. He's basically blind. He will place his hands on his oldest boy and bless him before death. The oldest boy was Esau. Esau was a hairy man. He was the oldest son. Jacob, the trickster, puts animal fur on his arms, goes into his blind dad and says, "Dad, it's me, Esau. Bless me." And his dad blessed the wrong boy because the wrong boy did his brother wrong again. He had two chances to do his brother right, but he did not. He did not. Well, I'll tell you what ends up happening is Esau gets really ticked off and he said, "I'll tell you what, about had it with him and the way he treats me. When dad passes away, I'm gonna beat the holy stuffings right out of my brother. I'm going to beat him into eternity." And then the Bible says, Jacob realizes later on he should have fixed that relationship. He gets right with Esau. Now, twice Jacob could have treated his brother right. Finally, God's grace gets a hold of Jacob, and Jacob says, "I'm going to get right with my brother." Jacob gathers some gifts. He realizes there's a problem. He realizes there's some bitterness. And the Bible says in Genesis 33:4, "And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." They got right with each other. Let me tell you all something. You better thank God that God gives you a chance to get right with the people you love.
Amen.
And I think you should take advantage of that. I think you young people, you watch how you treat mom and dad. There will be a day when mom and dad will close their eyes in death and you'll never have again an opportunity to love them. You better make sure you stay right with them. Listen, I'm glad that Jacob, now he blew it his first chance, he blew it his second chance, but the third chance, Jacob said, "You know something, that is my brother. And I have betrayed him on numerous occasions. I am getting right with my brother." Thank God that God gives us a chance to fix relationships. Is there somebody, and I've got to tell you, I don't think this is true in our church. Most pastors couldn't say that. I don't think there's anybody in our church that's got a bunch of animosity or hatred toward one another. I don't sense that in anybody in our church. So this isn't to try to fix something. Let me try to prevent something. Let me tell you something, folks. Keep yourself right with people. Is there somebody in the church with whom you're bitter? Is there somebody within your family with whom you're bitter? And I have to tell you something, folks. I'm not here to tell you that you have to agree with someone's sin, because the Bible's real clear. You're to hate sin. But the Bible is also clear to you're to love the sinner. We hate sin, but we love the sinner. Do you have a less than good relationship with someone? Do you need from God a repeat chance to fix it? Is there a son here that God is giving you a repeat chance to get something right with your dad? Is there a daughter here that God will give you a repeat chance to get right with mom or dad? Is there maybe somebody here, you need a repeat chance to get right with a teacher, or a repeat chance to get right with a student, or a repeat chance to get right with a husband or a wife? Do you need a repeat chance to get something straightened out with a Christian leader? Do you need a repeat chance to get right with some follower? Hey, maybe there's some pastor out there. there, and I don't know of anybody in here that is at odds with me as their pastor, but maybe there's someone out there, you need God to give you another chance so you can fix a hardship between you and a pastor, or maybe you and another member, or hey, maybe it's toward a mom, or a dad, or a child, or a neighbor, or a boss, or an employee. I will tell you this, folks, there's nothing more important in life than God, and secondly, there's nothing more important in life than our Christian behavior toward people. We are to behave right toward God, and we're to behave right toward people. It's a good thing that God gives us a repeat chance to fix relationships. A repeat chance to get something right with someone. A repeat chance to help someone. Listen, I call the sermon RE. Just repeat. Just God gives us a second chance. If you're here today and you're not saved, you got to get saved. Don't take a chance. If you've already one time said no to salvation, you better get it taken care of today. And thank God He gives you another chance. There's somebody in here, and though we'll not know this today, but there's somebody in here. You've been given the opportunity to serve God through the local New Testament church, and you have chosen to push it away. You're uninterested. You've got better things to do. Hey, look, and I think God wants us to have balance in life, but I think God wants everybody to serve Him. And you push that opportunity away. You might want to say, you know what, God, give me another chance. God, give me another chance to believe the Word of God and to understand the Word of God and live it. He repeats Himself over and over again. And then finally, God, give me another chance to fix some things with some people that I ought to be loving. But there is tension between me and them. You know, it might not be that you can fix that relationship entirely this week, but could you take it up a notch? Could you fix it a little and maybe a little the week after that? God is a God that gives us a repeat chance in so many areas. I hope that we will see the benefit of what He said in Isaiah 11:11. He said, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people." He said, "I'm going to try again. I'll repeat." Now, folks, God doesn't need to repeat anything. God's not obligated to repeat anything. If God's repeating, it's not because of Him or necessity on His part. It's because He's being patient with us. Let's not push our luck with that repeating on God's part. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: are you saved? Are you born again? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, "Pastor, I've heard the gospel before, but I never got saved. I never asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I've already heard it once. Now today, this is a repeat opportunity. But Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to get saved. I want to get saved. I see God's been patient. I need to get saved. And God has spoken to my heart. This is the day I need to take care of this." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I need to get saved. I want to get saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I see that hand." Someone else, you say, "That's me. I need to be born again." Someone else, you say, "I need to be saved." Sure, there's another hand. Someone else. You may put those hands down. How many of you would say, "I'm saved. I know it. I'd not lie in church. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm saved. If I died today, I'm sure I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand quickly? You put those hands down. If you could not raise your hand, you've just heard the gospel again. You need to get born again. Hey, Christian, is it possible that you've had opportunity to serve God, but you're too busy for God? You get your own program. You get your own plan. And maybe it's time for you to decide that you're going to serve God. You're saved, but you never do anything for God. Hey, it's a spectator sport to you. Who here would say, "Pastor, I do want to serve God. If God gives me a chance, I'll figure out a way to serve Him." Would you raise your hand? You say, "That's me. I want to serve Him. And I like the idea of serving Him. If He'll give me that chance, I will." You may put those hands down. God bless you. All of us need to take more seriously the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, because there are so many times we hear it, but we ignore it. We hear it, but we're numb to it. But then finally,
And I want to take just a second for this, and in a moment we'll start the altar call. Who here would say, Pastor, I can think of a relationship, maybe a couple, where I really need that second chance to work on that relationship. I've got a relationship that's not where it ought to be, and I am going to take advantage of this opportunity that's before me. I am going to try to restore that relationship because God is a chance, a second chance giving God. Who here would say, that's me, I need to work on a relationship? Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over the place and already. God bless you. God bless you. Lots of hands. You may put those hands down. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have an altar call. That means this. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to stand. The pianist is going to begin to play, and then we're all going to stand. The only people that should slip out are people with an emergency. The movement is forward, not backward. If you need to step out for an urgent matter, you may, but we need to let God work here. So once we all stand, if God spoke into your heart, you might need to come and get on your knees for a moment and just ask God to work in your life. Tell God that you want His help. If you're not saved, you come. We're going to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're one of the people being baptized, you need to get yourself ready because in just a moment the baptismal service will start. Here we go. The pianist is going to begin to play. Everyone stand to your feet, if you will. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if you need a moment at this altar, you come. Maybe you need to come down here. Maybe you need to come down here and say, God, I really need to work on a relationship.